Turn again to James chapter 1, and we read from verse 9 the following. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation, the good news of salvation, presents unto us the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Wretched, rebellious sinners who dwell in the darkness and are full of darkness inside and out. Those who have gone astray from God. Those who have rebelled against God. Those who hate God. From the womb they have gone astray, conceived in iniquity, conceived in sin, and going astray from the womb, speaking lies. We have all turned against our Maker. We have all rejected God in every way, in thought and deed, in all our intentions, in all our desires. Our whole life, except God intervenes, is one of rebellion and hatred against God. We seek our own glory, our own ways. We seek to make ourselves rich in this world with the things that God has given us freely in this world. We take of what He has given. We take of the riches of the land. We take of the glory of nature. We take all that He has given unto mankind and we use it to enrich ourselves. We use it to pursue our own pleasure. We use it to bring ourselves glory. All the while denying God His glory. All the while turning our back upon Him. All the while in our hearts as fools saying, in effect, there is no God. That is what we are, sinners by nature. And it is unto sinners that Christ has come in the gospel. He has come into the world to save sinners. In Mark 2:17 we read that Jesus saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ came into this world to save sinners, to call sinners to repentance unto salvation. But most, indeed all, by nature, see themselves as having no need of salvation. We do not see ourselves as being those who are sick, in need of a physician. We don't see ourselves as being sinners. We consider ourselves, in effect, to be righteous. Oh, we may give lip service and say, oh, well, I'm not perfect, but then nobody is. I'm not really any worse than my neighbour. We don't see ourselves as sinners. Therefore, when the message of the gospel comes unto us, when the message of Christ and His salvation comes unto us in our natural state, we've no time for it. Because we don't need it. We don't need saving. I'm not sick. I don't care. I'm not poor. Christ Jesus came to call sinners unto salvation. Those who are brought to know that they are sinners. Those who are brought to know that they are sick in need of a physician. Those who are brought low, humbled, under the mighty hand of God, brought to see that they are nothing, brought to see that they are sinking in the depths of the seas of their sin, brought to see that they are lost, perishing, captive, held fast by the chains of their iniquity and the judgment of God that rains out against it, brought to see that they are hell-bound, except God comes unto them and shows them mercy. These are those for whom Christ came, those who are brought to see that they are sinners. For we are all sinners in fact, and in deed and in thought. We are all under the wrath of God. As we read in John, Christ came not to condemn the world. He came to save. He came not to condemn because the world is already condemned. You and I are already under condemnation. We have already earned it by our own rebellion, our own disinterest, our own unbelief. We are headed for judgment. Everything in the world tells us this. We live in a world where there is death all around every day. We hear of those who pass into eternity every day, those who are losing loved ones, those who die from this means and that means, old age, heart disease, cancer, those who died violent deaths, those who are caught up in war or violence on the streets. Every day there are those who are perishing and going from this world into another. And a bit like ants which scurry around on the ground, whenever somebody comes along and crushes a few, they just run off and try to pretend that there's nothing happening, that they won't be the next one to be crushed. We just turn our backs upon death. We try not to think about it. Somebody dies, we go to the funeral the next day, we try not to think any more about it. We get on with our lives, we seek our pleasure in this world. We pretend it's not going to happen. We walk backwards towards the grave. We never look at it, we never consider what's beyond. We grasp at everything we can in this world as though it goes on forever. What fools we are! Yet James says of us who think we are so rich in what we have, so rich in what we are, so rich in our own understanding, so rich in our own wisdom. He says of the rich, the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. The sun is mightier than the grass. The sun of righteousness, the sun of God, is mightier than every blade of grass that calls itself a man or a woman in this world. What fools we are. We grow up one day, the next day we're cut down. We will perish. This truth is universally known. We can see it all around us. We see the generations come, the generations go. This world is not the end. Our own conscience tells us this. Yet we bury it in the sand. And the word of God tells us. The gospel comes and sounds an alarm, a warning. And we turn aside and say we don't want to know. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to call sinners to repentance. He comes not to condemn. You're condemned already. He comes with his gospel preaching life, salvation, deliverance from this that shall come upon men. You need not die. And yet, given the choice, given the choice, when man exercises his own free will, given the choice, he chooses death every time. I can stand before you this day and say, will ye choose life or will ye choose death? Will you follow Christ or will you reject? Will you believe the gospel or will you go your own way? And you will go your own way, proving the reality and the truth of the gospel in its declaration of the depravity of your own heart. You go your own way against all reason and all logic and all common sense, because your heart is darkened and you will not believe and you will not receive the truth. We cannot. We're blind, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We can't help ourselves. Even though the message of grace in the gospel comes unto us and says, those who believe in Jesus Christ will be delivered from the wrath to come, delivered from judgment, delivered from condemnation. They will have the righteousness of God. They will have everlasting life. Theirs is an inheritance to come beyond comprehension. Even though the gospel promises life, righteousness, salvation, riches beyond comprehension in Christ Jesus, we would rather go our own way and take our own chances and say, I'll see what's beyond the grave when it comes. We'd rather hope in some fairy dream of a Father Christmas God that's benevolent to all, that when it comes to it, even though we've rejected him all our life, even though we had no time ever for him, at the end we get beyond the grave and he says, it's okay, everything's fine, live forever. We'd rather take our chance on that, even though all reason and sense says otherwise. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save them from the wrath to come, to save them from judgment. But it's not really that that we need saving from, is it? It's not, that's not our greatest problem. And that's not the great work in God's salvation, truly, that he has to change. Delivering us from the wrath to come is one point, one aspect. But we really need to be delivered from ourselves. It's the deliverance from the nature of sin within us, the weight of unbelief, the irrationality that is in man by nature. It's being delivered from our wretched rejection of the truth. That is the real miracle. When Christ comes and delivers a soul, it's miraculous that he changes the will. He makes his people willing in the day of his power, we read in Psalm 110. This is the miracle. That because Christ has taken away the condemnation, because Christ offered himself in the place of sinners and took away their sin and took away the judgment and brought in the righteousness of God for them, the miracle is that he changes their hearts as a consequence. He causes them to believe. He causes them to be willing. He causes them to cry out for mercy. He makes those who hated him love him. He makes those who ran from him run towards him. He makes those who spake ill of him praise his holy name. He makes us willing. Oh, what a miracle of grace it is when unwilling, unbelieving, wretched sinners are changed in their very heart, in their very nature, to turn from themselves, to turn from all they sought, to turn from all their natural riches, to turn from all their natural glory, to turn from their natural prides, and come before God as wretched, lowly, humble sinners, saying, I'm nothing. Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. The miracle is when a rich man is transformed into a brother of low degree. One who has nothing. One who says, Lord, I am a sinner. I am the sinner. Save me, Lord, or else I die. Give me mercy, Lord, or else I perish. I've hated thee. I deserve nothing from thy hand. I've spent my entire life running from thee, running from the gospel, putting my hands on my ears that I should not hear, lest hearing I should believe. O Lord, thank you that you persisted, that you were long-suffering with me, even though I tried to run away, even though I would not listen, even though I railed accusations upon your name, even though I mocked and I scoffed and I said, this cannot be so, and I went in my own wisdom and my own way, and I tried to escape. You came. You followed me with the gospel. You spake comfort unto my soul. You brought me low. You brought me to an end of myself. And then you showed me Christ. Then you set before me Christ in my place, bearing my sin, bearing mine iniquity, bearing my unbelief. Then I saw myself in Christ upon the cross, judged under the wrath of God. Then I knew I was nothing, and he was all. O Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. As Christ came to call sinners to repentance, to salvation, those who know they're sinners, those who are brought low, humble, brought to see they are nothing, to know they are nothing. And it is these brothers of low degree, sisters of low degree, these whom he exalts, whom he exalts. And he makes them like this because finding them as they are, as rich men, as those who are full of their own selves, full of their own importance, full of their own intellect, full of their own wisdom, full of their own reason, that's where he finds us in the beginning. He finds us as the rich. Rich in ourselves. Rich in our own understanding. Rich in our own ability. Confident that if there's salvation to be found, we can gain it through our own decision or our own righteousness, our own works. We're rich by nature. But he comes unto us and humbles us. And takes away our riches and strips us bare and leaves us naked and brings us down. And this work in humbling a sinner to teach him what he is and to bring him unto Christ as nothing in order that Christ should lift him up in the gospel and exalt him. This work of humbling the rich is a blessing unto him. Left to himself, left to ourselves, we like the grass under the heat of the sun would fade away in our ways. We will perish. And many do. And today many will plunge into the grave not knowing God, full of their own importance, their own pride and arrogance. Rich men who find themselves like the parable in hell. Separated from God, seeing poor Lazarus in the lap of the Lord and pleading to be delivered from where they are found, from the fires of hell, the darkness, the terrors in which they find themselves locked for eternity. Many rich men will find themselves there today. Oh, that it should not be us. Because if the Lord comes in the gospel and causes a brother who is rich to be made low, what a joy that is. James says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Let the brother who is rich rejoice that he is made low. There's no greater blessing than if you're found in your sin, feeling yourselves to be rich and of great intellect and great understanding and great wisdom, thinking yourself to be something. There's no greater blessing than if God should come in the gospel and make you low. Oh, to be made low. Oh, what a joy, what a blessing. If God in grace in the gospel, if Christ comes to us and makes us low, brings us down to the dust to see what we are, and to know his mercy and grace in coming unto sinners such as us and delivering us not just from the wrath to come, but from ourselves, from our sin, from what we are by nature, wretched unbelieving sinners. Oh, to be made low. Christ saves his people by delivering them from themselves. And by his Spirit he humbles them. Before he exalts them, before he lifts them up from the gutter, before he delivers them from their captivity, before he sets the captive free, he makes them low. This is what the Spirit's work is. There's no salvation except you're brought this way. There's no salvation except you're brought to go through a narrow gate, a straight gate, and upon a narrow way. You're brought to shed all your righteousness, all your vaunted pride, all that you think you were, all your riches must go in order that you should be brought through that straight gate onto a narrow way that leads to salvation. He'll bring us every time, every one, this pathway. And though it's a painful way at the start, it's a wonderful way when we realise what we've been delivered from. It's a joy, if you're rich, to be stripped of all you are, made low and brought to the feet of Jesus. It's a joy not to be left to ourselves and our own understanding. The greatest terror, the greatest misery that you can know in this world is that God should leave you alone. Is that God should take the light of the gospel away. There are many who never hear. Many who've never heard the truth. And many who, when they do, turn aside from it. The greatest judgment that can come upon us is if God takes the sound of this gospel away, as if he stops speaking to you, as if you're never brought to hear it again. You're left to yourself. You say, I don't want to know. And God says, very well then. Go away. Wander off into the darkness. I'll trouble you no more. As if God leaves you to yourself, as if he leaves you to a reprobate mind, as we read in Romans. We ask God to leave us alone. And if he gives us what we want, we're left with nothing but destruction. It's the greatest mercy when he won't give us that request, but when he brings us down to nothing and brings us by faith to ask God for wisdom, for salvation, for Christ, for deliverance. Brings us to see Christ, who trod this pathway before we did, who knows what it is to have been brought down to nothing, to have gone from the greatest height to the greatest depths in order to save his people. We may say it's hard when God brings us down. It's humbling. I have nothing left. But it's not as hard as the journey. It's not as hard as the journey that Christ trod. It's not as humbling as his pathway. The suffering we may endure is nothing compared to his suffering. He came from the greatest height. He came into a world of darkness, rejected by all. He was obedient, humbling himself, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came, was rejected by all men, spat upon, reviled, rejected, scorned, mocked, crucified. We read from Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's God. He reigned in glory above. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As he came down from the greatest height to a depth that no man has entered, to the death of the cross, he went into the darkness, into the abyss. He was rejected by everyone, you, me included. All men rejected him. And bearing the sin of his people, bearing their iniquity, his Father cast him out and poured out his wrath upon him. He slew his own son. He was obedient unto the death of the cross. But having been brought there, God gave him a name above every name. He hath highly exalted him. He conquered death. He took away sin. He brought in righteousness for his people. He delivered them from sin. He delivered them from hell. He delivered them from the devil. He delivered them from themselves. He made them righteous. He gave them eternal life. And on the third day, he and they rose again from the grave. And he ascended into glory above. And God gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We shall all bow to his name. Whether you're brought to know him in this lifetime, or whether you go to the grave a rich man full of your own importance, rejecting God, you will find yourself on the other side of the grave, bowing the knee to Christ before he sends you off into outer darkness. Oh, how exalted he is. What a pathway he took. What a pathway. But it's a pathway that God will bring his people on. He will take the rich and make them low. And he will take the brother of low degree and exalt him. This is an experience we know, not just when we're first brought to believe the gospel, not just when God strips us of all our riches of self-importance, self-righteousness, our own will, our own desires, our own glory, our own wisdom. Not just when we're brought to that point of crying out for mercy and being lifted up as we see Christ taking away our sin, as we see his righteousness, as we see his salvation, as we feel the wonderful, overwhelming love and blessing of God pouring down upon us. These are tremendous experiences to go through when we know that our bondage is at an end, when we know that our captivity has come to an end, when we know that we are freed, when we know that Christ has delivered us and saved us and shown us mercy. It's a tremendous release. But we go on to find that the flesh that dwells within us as a believer is always there. And the new man of grace, that new life which is born within us by the Spirit, when we're brought to faith in the gospel, when God quickens us unto life and causes us to walk before Him, we find this tension. The flesh is always warring against the Spirit. The old man always rages against the new man. The old man is always seeking to exalt himself. We find this in our nature, in our flesh. There's always this desire there to be exalted, to rise up, to seek riches, to seek glory. The proud flesh is always exalting itself. And daily, God makes it low. Daily it must be crucified. Daily it's humbled. In order that the new man might be lifted up. In order that the old flesh might be taken aside. And the view of faith has a clear view of Christ, our Saviour. As John the Baptist said, when Christ came unto him, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is the constant cry of a believer. Every day we say, Christ must increase. But I must decrease. O Lord, make me low. Take away my fleshly riches. Take away the wisdom that dwells in my flesh. Take away the pride of life. Bring me low. Cause me to rest in Christ alone. Give me wisdom. Give me Christ. These verses continue James's thoughts in this chapter. They follow on. Each part that he speaks of flows into the next. They're a continuation of his thinking. The trials we are brought into, the temptations for which we rejoice, are those that bring us down, that make us low. Those things that take away, that strip away the riches. They bring us down. They bring us to the point of asking in faith for wisdom. For wisdom and understanding. Of crying out unto God for mercy. Of calling out unto God for Christ, our wisdom. For Christ alone. Faith calls for Him. He who is made unto us wisdom. As we read in 1 Corinthians, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This wisdom is seen in His righteousness, in His sanctification, being separated from this world, under Him, set apart for God, in redemption, in the freedom, the deliverance, which He brings in for His people, delivering them from the old man, delivering them from themselves, delivering them from captivity, delivering them from all that held them back, taking away their riches, and giving them everlasting riches in Jesus Christ. Who asks for this wisdom? Those who need it. The lowly. The brothers of low degree. The whole have no need of a physician but those that are sick. Our trouble is we don't ask because we have no need by nature. We don't think we need Him. We don't think we need wisdom because we're wise ourselves. We don't think we need righteousness because we're happy with our own. We don't think we need redemption because we're not aware that we're bound, that we're captive. We don't want to be set apart for God. We like this world. We like our pleasures. We like ourselves. We like our own glory. But those whom the Lord brings through His gospel to be stripped of their riches, those whom He puts through the trials, whom He puts in the fire to burn up what they are, to burn up the riches, to strip them down and bring them to be nothing and cause them to cry out by faith, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me salvation. Give me righteousness. He causes them to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, save me. Have mercy upon me. Deliver me from myself, else I perish. The natural man will never ask for this. Because he's proud. He knows it all. He doesn't lack for wisdom. He's so rich in himself. But God's own. Chosen before the foundation of the earth. Separated unto him. Are brought to cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me. Those in whom the Lord works. Those brought low, made to be of low esteem. Those who are wed to Christ. They know what he went through in being made low. As we saw in Philippians. They know the journey he took on their behalf. They know the love he set upon them. To go to the horrors of the tree. To go into the horrors of Golgotha on their behalf. They know the journey he took in the darkness. The eternity of darkness in 3 hours upon the tree. They know what he bore for them. They know their sin. They know he bore the wrath of God for all those evil things that they're aware of. And all the evil things they've done and said and thought they're not aware of. They know what he bore for them. They're melted by his grace, by his love, by his mercy. And they know that when he died, they died with him. When he was crucified, they were crucified. When he was slain, they were slain. And they in him are lifted up, risen, and exalted with him. As Paul said in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that God would make us low, would bring us to see that we are nothing, would show us the path his Son took for sinners such as us. And oh, that we should know that we are one of those, like Saul, like Paul, who was nailed to the tree in Christ, one with him. Who suffered when he suffered. Who died when he died. That they should live and rise and be exalted when he was exalted. As Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.